Well, we're on 10:24 before we finished last week. We'll read a little bit of Hebrew here to keep you going in that, but I've got a lot of material that I wanted to share with you about the sons of Noah.
Better shut that off.
Let's read a few verses here. It'll tell us a little bit more about them. By the way, as you're studying the Bible, as you read the Old Testament, when we come to the 10th chapter of Genesis over here, from that time on, pretty much, it's all about Shem. Just think about that for a while. From the 10th chapter of Genesis, 10th and 11th chapter, from that time on, it basically ignores the rest of the world and emphasizes on Shem, because the Messiah is going to come through Shem. Okay? The Messiah will come through Shem. And so that's what it's emphasized about. So I don't forget that. And I want to read you some more notes. And another, as I was reading the book of Genesis and about man and everything, I just put some thoughts down that I want to bring to you also. Vi Arpakshad. Yelad. Et. Shelach. Vi Shelach. Yelad. Et. Eber. Okay, that's Heber. It's Heber in Greek.
Heber. I don't want this thing to write or not. It's like that. Heber. Rough reader on there. Heber. That's where we get the word Hebrew from.
All right. Now, this is it. From this point on, now, that's a very important name. You can circle that one in your Bible if you want to, because this is extremely important. And our Arpakshad. He begat Shelah. All right, Shelah. And Shelah, he begat Eber. So here it is. All right. Here is where it all begins. By the way, Shelah means peace. The youngest son of Judah, and 38 and verse 5 was also called Shelah. Alright, here we have the word Heber. Alright, Heber is a very important name. Yule'eber. Yelad. Shinah. Banim. Shem. He Achad. Pileg. Ki. Vayomer, Vayomov, that is. Niflega, Haaretz, Bishem, Achiv, Yakitan. All right. And Heber, and to Heber, were begotten or born two sons. Name of one, Peleg, and in his days, Nephlega was divided, she was divided, the earth. And the name of his brother, Beyakitan, next to 26, name of his brother, Yachtan. All right? And Beyakitan, Yelad, Et, Hamizad, Viet, Shalif, Viet, Chatza, Mivet, Viet, Yerak. All right. And Joktan, he begat Almadad, all right. And Shalath, and Hazarmoveth. Okay? By the way, that last word there is, it means to court death. To court death.
And what is that business about the earth being divided today?
Okay.
I was always under the impression that it was divided starting with the Tower of Babel, and then they were dispersed.
Yes. In the, at Babel now, all right, let's go back. You remember the legend of Atlantis?
Yeah.
Okay. Some scholars believe now, America, you could see all of the continents were all together at one time. But in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. The earth, the oceans began.
That's what I was
Yeah.
This was a reference to the actual physical
That's the physical division of the earth.
The division of the people, but of the continent.
Division of the earth. Okay.
What are you saying that it actually happened, right?
That's when it began.
When the Tower of Babel?
Yes. Okay. But in the days of Peleg is when it happened. At the Tower of Babel, that's when it was. We're going to get some more about this, you know. Anyway, in the days when the Tower of Babel was built, by the way, it was finished. When the Tower of Babel was finished, God judged them, and He confused the languages, and He divided the earth. That's when the continents began. Yes, they went to where they could understand each other's languages, and then the people just went with the continents. Yes, yeah, the people were dispersed in the different areas, and then the earth was divided. Okay.
So Peleg was.
Peleg. Peleg means divided.
Okay.
Peleg
was after the Tower of Babel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it just tells that in his time the earth was divided.
Okay, I want to know exactly. My thinking was that when the land was divided, the people that were on that land at that time just went with it, whereas
yes.
to America or
yeah.
to mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. That happened right here. Okay.
The
confusion of languages. Right here is what happened. Okay? And they're going to find them going out and going into different parts of the earth. The idea of Atlantis, this writer here says that they believed, or he believes, some scholars believe, that as the continents drifted apart, they could see America one time, and all of a sudden it just went out of sight. And they thought that the continent of Atlantis went down into the Atlantic Ocean. But actually it was probably America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now we talk about the city of Atlantis, and it was a highly civilized area. Of course, you know, who were the people that civilized? Who were the ones that built the big cities? The sons of what?
Nimrod.
Well, Nimrod built the first great city, but the sons of Ham were the ones that started out and broke out in different parts. Okay? Now, this is what this guy says. There is, however, a grain of truth applying this passage to the Negro people. It says, most powerful lies gain their power from having at least a mediocre of truth. And he said, the colored people of the earth are descendants of Ham, they're Hamitic people, and they come in varying shades from yellow, the Chinese, the brown of the Indians, the black of the Africans, and even including some white skin. Now we must turn to the prophetic utterances of Noah about his sons as to the destiny of their descendants. And that's where we have studied before. So I'm going to jump past that. Shem is given religious primacy among all mankind. We know that now. We've studied that. Shem is he is the leader religiously of the whole earth. And we know the descendants of Shem today are the Arabs and the Jews. And they hold on to that no matter what. They don't care anything about anything material in the world. It's their God that they're worried about. And everything they do is got something to do with Allah or Jehovah, all right? Or Adonai, as the Jews call him. It says the Semitic people, the descendants of Shem, were responsible unto God to meet the spiritual needs of all mankind. All right, and we know that. Through the descendants of Shem, we have Judaism, we have Christianity, and we have the Muslim world. Okay? And most of Christendom is not Christendom. It says it is their whole role in humanity. He said it's most striking that the three great religions on the earth came from the Semitic family: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All right? The family includes the Jews and the Arabs, certain ancient peoples, as well as other modern groups. Japheth, the promised enlargement. Okay? Japheth. I think most of you are related to Japheth. I'm Ham. But I do have some Shemite blood in me, and I'm a little bit of Japhethite, too. A little bit. He has promised enlargement. The Japhetic people in general, the peoples of India, Europe, and Indo-European stock with which a demographer is familiar. All right. The entire Western hemisphere of our globe is settled by the Japhetic peoples, and the Indians, the Hindus, are the same stock, the original Indians. Now, remember last week I told you about the caste system in India was started by the Japhethites in India, where they looked down upon the others and they were in a certain caste and they could not get out of that caste. Okay? In America, that caste system tried to be set with the Ku Klux Klan. And you see the history of all of this as you go. Okay? The greatest philosophers were Japhetic. The Greeks who began modern philosophy are descendants of Japheth. And then it says something about Arthur Cousins. Remember I told you that you could read Noah's Three Sons on... You can't hardly find the book. But you can read it on the internet. Somebody put it up on the internet. He said, there is a very astute Christian scholar whose writings are privately distributed, who has been a great help to me in various fields of Bible study. His name is Dr. Arthur C. Custance. All right? From Toronto, Canada. And he said, I am indebted for much of my concepts and information from this great man. It says in the phrase here, let him, Japheth, dwell in the tents of Shem as a predicate of the cross. When the spiritual guidance of humanity passed from the Jews to the Gentiles, remember what I told you, at the cross of Calvary, the Shemites are put in the background. And now the Japhethites are going to take over the administration of God's kingdom, which we call the church, or the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Okay? To Shem was given the primacy of religious teaching, but there comes a time when Japheth enters the field and dwells in the tents of Shem as prophetic, as Noah. Noah didn't know what he's talking about. Not a time when a prophet utters something he doesn't know exactly where it's going. And philosophy, which is essentially Japhetic, is married in theology today. Some of the greatest theologians and Bible writings were from Germany. Okay? Japhethites. This has been the case since the dispersion of the Jews around the world. All right? He says here that many of the, the Ku Klux Klan, many of the Japhethites, when they came to America and in different parts of the world, and even in England, they used the black people as slaves. And they said, well, the Bible had taught that they would be slaves. And they said that the Bible taught that the black people would be slaves. Uh-huh. And so that they could own them and they were going to be slaves. He said that's not exactly all true. And then he talks about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Did I tell you about them? Matthew is written to the Shemites. Mark is written to the Hamites. And Luke is written to the Japhethites. Did I tell you that before, Randall? Nope. Okay. Mark is written to the Shemites. Jesus, Joseph's lineage is in Matthew. Jesus was legitimately, because he was Joseph's adopted son, if you want to say that, he was heir to the throne of Israel. Joseph should have been on the throne, not Herod. Okay. Mark. Mark talks about the servant. At the cross of Calvary, Ham, Shem, and Japheth took part. Shem demanded the death of Jesus. Did he not? The Jews demanded the death of Jesus. Japheth tried to turn him free, which was Pontius Pilate. But the Roman government, Japhethites, crucified Jesus. And guess who carried his cross to Calvary? A Hamite. All right? To the Hamites, and Luke to the Japhethites. Okay?
I'm just sorry you don't think you're slipping. I did hear you say that last week.
Okay. All right. I thought I had said something about that.
We covered that last week.
Okay. Well, sometimes I have to do it three times before
you.
Well, see, I teach three classes, so I might say something in one that I won't say in the other.
I find it very interesting and all that. So I didn't want you to think that was you.
Say those three things again.
No. Okay. Matthew was written to the Shemites. All right. And the Shemites are going to lose the administration of God's kingdom. They lose it when Jesus walks in, or rides in on a donkey into Jerusalem. That was his triumphant entry, and he took over the reins of his kingdom. He was the king then. Even they did, many accepted him. They said, Hosanna in the highest. And they said, well, wait a minute now, Jesus, the Pharisees says, that they're saying praise Jehovah. Tell them they're wrong. Tell them to stop. He said, if I told them to stop, what would happen? The rocks would cry out. All right. Well, the Messiah king was there. Okay. And then Mark. Mark is the gospel to the Hamites. The servants of the whole world. The Hamites have probably done more for the human race physically than any other people in the world. Or among all the races. All right. And then the Japhethites. The Japhethites have done some of the greatest writings in the world. But we find out that at the end time, the Japhethites took over the reins of the kingdom. In the last days of the church age, we find that the Japhethites are going to, the churches are going to become very materialistic. Very materialistic. And this culmination of that, the church is going to be so materialistic, the Lord says, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. Laodicea. The church age of Laodicea. Okay? And we are in that church age today. The age of Laodicea. Okay? He goes on and talks about the three different approaches. Of course, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then we have John, the unusual. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics. They look at the life of Jesus in the same way. John looks at Jesus as God, period. We have Matthew, the king. We have Luke, or Mark, the servant. We have Luke, the son of man. In Luke's genealogy is Mary's genealogy. He's actually the son of woman. Okay? The son of woman. The seed of the woman. Okay? All right. Let's go on a little bit further. He talks about the three Gospels, and so does Arthur Custance. He does the same thing in Noah's Three Sons. He says here that every one of the descendants of Noah, each of those three boys, had something great to contribute to mankind. And in balance, it was wonderful. And out of balance, it's not wonderful. All right? The Japhethites basically received the New Testament. And it's written in a Japheth language, which is Greek, Koine Greek. In the most perfect language that you could possibly write the New Testament in. All right? He says here that Ham, the family of Ham, was gifted with technical proficiency because of the great adaptability of these people to primitive conditions. The Hamites became the great pioneers of mankind, and all early civilizations were Hamitic. The Mayans, the Aztec in America. Do you know that the Mayans and the Incas, you know that those people had advanced medical procedures? They were doing surgeries and operations. They had advanced medicine. Where today, they say over 70% of all medicines came from Native American people. Or Aborigines. Or South American or Central American. Almost everything in the drugstore until it was duplicated in some canonical form was from the Native American people. A lot of people call the furthest people away from the Fertile Crescent, way out there, is Australia and America, isn't it? The most primitive people lived in Australia and America, but some of the most advanced people also lived in America, in North America. Some of the most advanced civilizations were in Central and South America. He names the Mayans, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Sumerians. And we owe a great deal to the Hamitic people and nations. Later on, these lands were occupied by the Japhethatic nations. And the present day, the entire Western Hemisphere is peopled with Japhetic rather than Hamitic nations. Actually, the Japhethites are in control. All right? The four sons of Ham are relatively easy to trace in history. All right? And then he talks about Genesis 6th chapter, which we studied that. And this is what he says. He said, Genesis 6, we're in the strange story of the invasion of the sons of God into the human race. There resulted a race of giants called Nephilim. We are told that these were mighty men of gold, giants, men of renown. This was evidently demonic invasion of the race and with sexual overtones, which brought into being a race of giants that were morally degraded, and that's why the flood came that we just studied. Okay? He talks about false religion. He talks about the invention of false religion, Murdoch and the Sumerians. He talks about the virgin birth of Nimrod, so to speak, and the mother and child, the Madonna and child. Now, where do you think that came from in the Catholic Church? That's what we call Mariolatry. In the ancient Babylonian, the cult of the mother and child spread to other parts of the earth. You will find it in Egyptian religion as Isis and Osiris. In Greece as Vanu and Adonis. In Hindu as Usus and Vishnu. And the same cult prevails in various other locations. It appears in the Old Testament in Jeremiah, where the Israelites were warned against offering sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven. This Queen of Heaven is Samarius, the wife of Nimrod, the original mother of the child cult. The cult also crept into Christianity and forms the basis for Mariolatry. This is revealed in the Roman Catholic Church, where the mother and child are worshipped as joint redeemers. All right. The Catholic Church became a capitalistic, materialistic religion early from the Japhethites. Just think about that. The Catholic Church became a materialistic religion early in time. There was a very few at the very top ruling all the masses. The Pope, their invention of the Pope, and of the cardinals and the bishops, controlled the mass of humanity and enslaved them. Okay? Just think about that for a while. When you go into a Catholic church, a funeral, or even a mass, you go in there and the people are all there, all of the communicants, if you want to call them that, the religious, these Catholics. And when the priest rings the bell or says something, I mean, you see them jump to it exactly. They do it in fear. And from their hearts, they do this because they're afraid that they have to do this. This is what they have to do. But it's a materialistic religion. Total material. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's all materialistic. It's rote and form.
It's ritual.
Ritual. All right. And in the book of Revelation, over here, we find, after the true churches are taken out, there won't be anything to stop this total materialistic church. Okay? And it will become so materialistic, and it's called Babylon the Great. Now, where is the economic center of the world? Well, Babylon. The church and the state are one. The Catholic Church and the state are one, always. In America, every state was a church state. Did you know that originally?
Yeah.
Every state in America was a church state. All they knew was the church state idea of Roman, the Roman Catholic, and the Protestant, Lutheran, Calvin. They were all church states. They were Catholics, just warmed over Catholics, and they became, wherever they went, they established church states. They might believe a little different, but it was a church state. All right.
And they ruled the people in that state.
In power, yes. You paid tithes. It was taxed right out of your paycheck. You paid your tithes. If you were a farmer, you had to pay a tenth of everything you made to the church. Period. In America, it was that way too, originally.
So they didn't get a whole lot of freedom when they came over on the Mayflower.
Not really. Just all they wanted was religious freedom for them. When they got over here, they established church states in every state.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then later on, if it wasn't for the Bill of Rights, in the Bill of Rights you have religious freedom, not in the original Constitution. Think about that for a while. That just makes you think a little bit.
And most of the rituals in the Roman Catholic Church came out of paganism?
Paganism, yes. It's a material... Paganism was a materialistic religion.
It's like the mother son.
Yeah. All right. And the Japhethites. The Japhethites founded philosophies and, of course, theology for a while in the church age, during the church age. And there's some of the greatest theologians come from the German people. There is. Almost every Greek and Hebrew grammar was originally German. All right? Biblical Hebraica. It's German. Everything. All the great writings in the languages basically are German. Okay? We see that. Going a little bit further. The tribes of Joktan are associated with Arabia. The boundaries of Meshah and Sephar are both within the Arabian Peninsula. Our main interest, however, centers in Peleg, the cryptic comment about him. In his days, the earth was divided. And what do you think that means? Peleg in Hebrew means divided or division. But in Greek, it means sea. Thalassae. Okay? We get our present English word archipelago from this archipelagos, the first sea. Remember, there was a continent, one big continent called Gondwana or Pangaea. But then, when they saw the continents divided, they said, the first sea. There was an ocean in between, a sea in between, so they call it the first sea. Okay? Have any of you ever studied this at all?
I have, yeah. Jim.
I've
Not this on various occasions. I've always been a little puzzled by one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like they're presuming that none of these people lived on the outer perimeter of that continent where there would have been sea.
Well, the anthropologists have them traveling. The continents all were there, and then the man traveled. No, the people were there on the continents, what became continents, before the continents were divided, as we see from the Bible.
At that time when it was one super continent.
Yeah.
There must have been no people on the outer perimeters of it, or they would have been looking at oceans.
Yeah, well, they called it the first sea. We have the ocean, and then we have the seas.
Okay. Okay.
All right?
Okay,
so now they saw the first sea or division of the waters.
Okay.
All right? There is some evidence to link this with the scientific theory, continental drift, and the idea that once continents were bound together in one great landmass. We don't know that. You can look at a globe and see that. But sometime in the past, they were separated and began to drift apart until the Americas came to their present location. Australia slid down to the south, and Antarctica still further south, and the continents assumed the present distribution of land mass on the Earth. Some have suggested that it may have occurred as late as the days of Peleg, which we know it did.
That's what it
is. Uh-huh. Immediately following the flood. Perhaps the great rift of valleys of Africa and Asia were not yet formed, and Peleg's day these drew apart so that the seas broke into the inner world and formed. That's why we have, this was a sea bottom here one time, remember? all the San Joaquin Valley. This was a big sea here, a great big sea. Formed the Red Sea and the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea, and this would be the formation of the first sea from which we get the word archipelago. There are many geologists, of course, who differ from this. It says, if this idea was the case, it will well have been that the American continent was still in view of Europe and Asia in those days, and that it moved westward, gradually disappearing from the horizon. This gave rise to the many myths and stories about the lost continent called Atlantis disappeared beneath the Atlantic Ocean. Okay? There are many interesting threads that we could follow, he said. And then he talked about the world of Shem. The world of Shem as it was back then. Because that's what it's all about. Shem from then on. The Bible's all about Shem.
What I find it interesting, what I'm
supposed
to say is, why is it attributed to Peleg his days? He had a brother. I mean,
but
why does the one guy get the blame for it?
It just says, in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. Because Peleg, his name means divided. The action that God took to divide the earth, they named Peleg after that action. They said, in the days of divided, the earth was divided. See, Peleg means divided. So in the days of divided, the earth was divided. Okay? Now, let me bring another little thought in here for just a minute. Or a few minutes. Mankind is unique, and that's what makes him higher than all the angels, Genesis 1 and 26. He's unique. He has a special kind of physical life. All right? We all understand that because we have to eat and drink. All right? And we have to sleep, and we have to find rest and shelter. A special kind of mental capacity, which that's why we're here tonight, mental and spiritual and physical. Tied together right here tonight. A special kind of spiritual potential. Man, because of his uniqueness, is morally accountable to God. His possession of a physical body makes his redemption possible. His possession of a physical body makes his redemption possible. He can be redeemed because he has a physical body. Angels can't be redeemed, can they? Even though they are physical, but they don't occupy our physical world specifically, do they? They're here, but not in human. They're all around us, but we can't see them. We can see what to do sometime. The possession of a fallen spirit or soul, nephesh or ruah, suki or numah, makes his redemption necessary. Because man has a soul and spirit, it makes his redemption necessary. John 3:16, John 1:14. And the Word became flesh. What was it? And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten God. Now why did he come here? To redeem the world and the physical universe, the material universe. Not only mankind, but the physical world. Now, because of all of this, we look forward to the final redemption and the resurrection of our physical bodies. Man shares with angels the same Creator and is morally accountable to the same Creator. Man shares the physical world with the animals. Man is dependent upon this physical order. Is he not? First, like animals, he needs air, water, and food, and rest, and shelter. Man's physical environment affects him, does it not? Your physical environment affects you. Cold, hot, wet, dry, heat, cold. Just think about that. Heat and cold. Right now, it's so hot, we have an air conditioner where we can stay in here and do what we're doing. Man's environment definitely affects him. Man's spiritual environment affects him.
good and evil. We have the forces of God around us and we have the forces of evil around us, don't we? And do they affect us? All you have to do is walk down the streets of Bakersfield and you can see that. As Christians, when the world sees us, they should see Christ. John 14 and verse 9. At Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. John 1:14, 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Peter 2:24, Colossians 1:21 and 22, and Hebrews 10 and 10. Man is not a spiritual creature who happens to have a body. Man is not a spiritual creature who happens to have a body. His body is as much a part of the total being as the Lord's glorious body was to His total glory. Man made God. God made man in His what?
Image.
So we know that God has an image. Okay. Man's bodily resurrection is an essential to his completeness as the Lord's bodily resurrection was to His sacrifice. Jesus died for our sins, but He was raised for our justification. We have already been recreated in spirit. As we look at the triuneness of man, the spirit of rebellion has been taken out and spirit God put in us when we're saved. That's what guides us from that time on. That's why we become different people. Okay? Man's, we have already been recreated in spirit, but we still wait to be completed, Romans 8 and 25. Philippians 3:21, John 3:16. The vital connection between man and the universe, and the universe was created for man. The universe was created for man. The Lakota Indians say, where I am is the center of the universe. Where man is the center of the universe. Where man is the center of the universe. The Catholic Church said one time that the earth was flat and that all things revolved around the earth. Now we know that the earth is round. Of course, the Bible said it was all the time. And we have the planets and the orbits and all the stuff and everything. But it says, Barashith Bara. What does that say? Barashith, in beginnings. If you explain it in one of the beginnings, Elohim, all right, Barashith Bara, created and finished. That word is in perfect tense. In beginnings, created and finished, Elohim, et Hashemayim. And this is not by chance that he said et Hashemayim. Et means the sign of the direct object, page 84, you know, on Round Driver and Briggs. Hashemayim. Hashemayim there could be actually, we could change the word Hashemayim to universe, cosmos. The whole universe was created. The space to put the things in was created. He created it, and then it says, Be'et Ha'aretz. Sign of direct object again, and the earth. When God created all the universe, created a space to put the universe, and all the planets in the universe, then He took and put the earth in the right place where mankind could live. No other planet can man live on. It's just this one. Barashith, Bara, Elohim, et Hashemayim, the et Ha'aretz. It's then that order. The universe was created for man. Because it says back in way back in eternity past, it says God laid out the plans, the blueprints for your redemption. He knew your name, Donna, Bill, Randall. God knows your name. Shirley, Jesse, Dakota. God knew our names in eternity past before He ever created anything. And then it says in one of the beginnings, He created the cosmos. And then He placed the earth in it to be the place where He would deal with the whole universe. And He will deal with the whole universe through earth because man is a special creation.
Man is a special creation to God. In short,
the earth became void.
And then the earth she became formless and void. And then God says, and the earth she became formless and void. What happened?
Satan
destroyed the earth. All of the plants and animals on the earth were destroyed, but God, in his permissive will, allowed it to happen. Because he knew that the oil that was created in those pockets where he tore the earth up would someday be controlled mankind by greed. Why are we in the Middle East? That's not because we want to be friends. We want the oil and the power. Okay? All right. In short, the universe was created for the world. The gay are earth or arets, Genesis 1 and 1. The world for the body of mankind. Just look at it this way. The world, the whole cosmos, was created so God could put a body on this earth. Okay? And the body for the spirit. Okay? And the body was created to house the spirit. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. Isaiah 45:12, Ephesians 2:10, Psalm 102:18, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Hebrews 8:10, Revelation 21:1-5. And it says in the end that, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. Why? To house man in his glory with God forever. Where's the old boy Satan going to be and all his rebellious angels and spirits? 86 and file 13. All right? In hellfire or eternal hell. He's going to make all things new. All animal life that was created before mankind, before Adam, was for man's use. Coal, oil, all of that. All animal life created before, in the original creation of God, Genesis 1 and 1, was created for man's use in space and time. All animal life that was put on the earth when Adam was a contemporary with it was created to be his companions, to show his love and affection. As you get older, you find out that your dogs and cats mean more to you. All the kids have gone, everything else, and you've got a dog and a cat that's always faithful and there with you. All right. You see these things. That's how they were created before.
Jim, I understand that about dogs. Do you really believe that about cats?
Cats are independent.
Cats
are independent. You don't own a cat owns you. And he picks out who he wants. That's just the way it is. Had a little old cat out there on the farm, a wild cat. What's her name, Dakota? The one that came looking for me and called me out of the woodpile. Stripe. Before she could see, when I'd walk out there, she'd come out and meow and want me to pet her. She couldn't even see. Before her eyes were open, she picked me out. And I mean to tell you, wherever you go, that little cat's going to follow you today. She's a big old fat cat now. And her sister. Now, she came out. She had a brother and a sister. The sister took me a long time to tame her. That's trouble. But they pick you. All right? They pick you. That's the way they do. Now, let's go on. Where were we? 26? All right? 26. Now, I took time to say what I said because it's very important. It's very important because when you read the Bible, unless you know what I told you, it won't mean nothing to you unless you know those things and who these are. Viet, Hadaram, Viet, Uzal, Viet, uh, 1027, is that where I'm supposed to be? What? What? 27? We are on 27. Did we read 26? I thought we did. Oh, yeah, we did. I remember now. All right. Viet.
Diklah. All right. Now we have Hadoram, which means high. It's Hadorah in Greek. Hadar is high. Remember on the film Grass, Hadar was the big shot there, which means high. Okay? And an Uzal. All right. In southern Arabia or Yemen. And then Diklah, which means palm grove or palm tree. All right. And I think I wrote down all of the page numbers for this, where you look these things up, didn't I? All right. And then 1028. Viet. Oval. Viet. Avamel. Viet. Sheba. All right. Now, some of these names have meanings that I can drag out, some of them don't. I'm sure they have meanings to all of them back then. But sometimes you can't dig it out. You only go so far. Okay, so I'm going to be giving you some of the names and what I know they mean. The other ones, I'm just going to jump over them because I don't know what they mean. All right? Simple as that. All right? And Obal and Abimael, Viet, Abimael, Father is God, by the way. Abimael, that means Father is God. All right? You can look them up on page 610, Obal, and look up Abimael on page 4, Brown, Driver, and Briggs. All right? And then it says, Viet Sheba, or Sheba. All right? It means to pay homage, to make a campaign, an expedition for, to make a covenant with. That's what that word Sheba means. All right? Make a covenant with. A barit. All right? Now, we do make a covenant with God, don't we? Every one of us have made a covenant with God. Let's just think about it. In the Old Testament, in the days of Shem over here, from this period of time on to here, what was the sign of the covenant? What was the physical sign of the covenant? Circumcision. In the New Testament time, as Christians, what is the physical sign of the covenant? Baptism. All right. Baptism. All right. Viet. 29. Ofer. Viet. Chavilah. Viet. Yovav. Kol, Elah, Bene, Yakatan. All right. And Ofer, which means fat and rich, and Havilah, which means a circle, district of gold. Okay? And Jobab here. Jobab means howling. And all these, Kol, Elah, and all these, Bene, sons of Joktan. Or Yoktan. All right? Page Yoktan, by the way, you can look up him in page 339 in Gesenius and page 429 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, if you want to put Gesenius down there. And 10 and verse 30. Bahi, Moshibam, Mem Meshah, Bo-Aka, Sifara, Har, Hakadim. All right. And became their dwelling place from Misha as you are going toward Sifar, numbering book, scroll, a town in Arabia. Har, mountain. You know, Mount Hor is Mount Mount. Did you know that? Mount Hor is Mount Mount. Hor, or Har, means mountain. Harmageddon, the mountain of cutting in pieces. All right? Hakadim, the east. All right. 10:31. We're going to finish up here, I think. Elah. Vinay, Shem, Lamishpechatam, Lil Shonatam, Bier Tiz Tom, Negov Yehem. All right. And these are the sons of Shem. All right. Their families, according to their fathers, is what it literally says. Mishpatha, patria is the Greek word. All right. Patria. And paterfamilia is the Latin word. According to their families. And what it literally means is according to the semen. You get all the way back, it talks about the sperm that made them. That's where it goes. That's the root of this word. Okay? Paterfamilia, the father of the family. Patria and Meshpatha. Lishonatam, after their languages. After their languages. Glossia. Okay? And then it says, in their lands. In their lands. That comes from Aretz. And after their tribal families, according to their nations. According to their nations. Let's hit one more. Alright. 10:32 is the end of this chapter. Alright. 10:32. Can you read that first one, Brother Randall? Elah. Mishpatat. Benay. Noah. Letovidotam. These are long words. Bigov Yehem. Yunaele. Nifredu. Hagov Yim. How about this next word? Anybody say that one? Ba'aretz. A char, that is. Hamabul. All right, after the flood. And these, again, paterfamilia, patria, the families, meshpatha. All right? These are the families, according to a father. Okay? The sons of Noah. Bnei Noah, after their generations in their tribes or nations. All right? And from these were spread out. Actually, what it literally says in Hebrew is having been spread out. They already were spread out. Okay? The nations in the earth after the flood. That's how it came about. We'll start in the 11th chapter of next week if I'm able to be here. You pray that I will. And I'll do my best. All right. Do you have any questions? Shirley, do you have a question?
How do you answer this?
No, it'll let everybody hear it. Everybody out there.
I've been listening to a program on the radio when I go to work.
Yeah.
And they're in Genesis, and they're talking about the angels. And he was saying that the angels, when it comes to the sons of God, the way I understood it, he was saying that they indwell man, the angels, and
angels don't indwell man. Spirits indwell men.
Yes, I remember you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what form was the angels when they...
The fallen angels had form.
You can so see an angel... You can see an... Angels are here. They're here around us. Okay? But you can only see an angel when he materializes, like Scotty and Spock.
Okay,
and
so
they can materialize. They are material, but they can materialize, and when they materialize, They have form, and evidently they have procreative form enough to procreate with females.
Probably like us.
Yeah.
I mean, have flesh and everything.
Yeah, well,
but
I wouldn't...
They must be giants, huh?
I wouldn't say they're giants.
You think they're in our form?
I think that they're probably somewhere around the size of mankind, but they're very powerful. Man is limited, and we call our world a natural world. We're limited to natural law. Angels and spirits are supernatural,
well,
beyond natural.
How come the children from them were so large?
Because there you have a hybrid between the supernatural and the natural.
And
I think, and as we studied that in the sixth chapter, I brought some things to you. I brought a lot of things to you from other writers. And sometimes I just let you say, well, have at it, and which one you like is fine, you know, with me. And there are many things like that. But there are some writers that say, and there are scriptural references, that these Nephilim they will not be resurrected. They will not have, because they don't have legitimate bodies.
Uh-huh.
Those were illegitimate bodies that they had.
And it was not God.
Oh, and not only that, I don't know whether, did I tell you here that I saw a Bigfoot one time?
No.
I saw a Bigfoot. I did not believe in Bigfoots at all. I didn't believe in Sasquatch, I didn't believe in Bommel, Snowman, didn't believe in any of that. I have been, I'll tell you in just a minute. I've been in the woods a lot. I was a guide. I spent more time in the woods at nighttime than I did in daytime. I've been all over the whole, some very primitive areas. And I used to say, as I preach, and if you listen to some old sermons, it might refer, if it was a Bigfoot, I would have seen one. That's what I said. I didn't believe them all, because that's the missing link, according to the anthropologists, is Bigfoot. Well, about 1986 or 5, somewhere around there, up in Nevada, in Fish Lake Valley. I lived up there, but we didn't have a well put in yet, so we would go down to a place that was a hot well, and it had a running big... what it was a well cellar, and water was run out, and it was going out into a couple of little lakes. We'd go out there and take a bath every night after I did all my running around, and I was a salesman up in that area and delivered stuff. In that area to the mines and the farmers and ranches and all kinds of stuff. We were out there at that well, taking a bath. And it was about midnight. We got out of there leisurely. There's 105 degree water there, and we just sat in there. It was like being in a hot tub. Water flowing. It was flowing. It was artesian. We'd get out of there, and we got out and just took our time. We got in our, and I was driving a company truck for Ace Hydraulics at that time. And we started going down the road, and I was going real slow, like 5 miles an hour. And I saw way over to the side, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, there's nobody for 15 miles. Okay? I look out there, and I see somebody walking, because I don't miss anything, being attuned to the woods in my life. There's not animal crawls, sneaks, or sneezes that I don't know about. I saw this person walking toward the road over there, but he was walking really fast. I saw it was walking fast. I said, well, somebody's broke down. We're going to see him up in the road. Jimmy didn't see that. My boy was with me. We got on up there, and here the thing kept coming further. And it was walking really fast and walking like it was on level ground. And I know what that ground is. After I walked on that ground, it's not level. But this animal, or whatever it was walking on like it was on level ground. And it finally comes into the headlights down there, not very far in front of me, maybe 50 yards. And I just slowed down further, and I saw this thing. And when I saw it, I knew what it was. But my brain wasn't ready for it. Not only did I see it, I was terrified of it. Completely terrified. I wasn't afraid of any animal in the woods. I have been bear hunting. I've tagged the last lion in the state of California. I fought hand to hand with wild hogs. You know what? The only gun I ever hunted a wild hog was with a .22 pistol. And I killed lots of wild hogs, more than most people did with a .30-06 or .243 or .357 or .44 Magnum, .45 ACP. I killed them with a .22. And I'd be out there dancing around, jumping around, shooting hogs, you know. I wasn't afraid of them. Didn't have good sense. My mother used to call me no fear. And then I look in the book about Smith Paul. His name was Icamelio, which means no fear or fearless. All right. But that's the way it was. When I saw this thing, I was terrified of it. I saw it. It came out. I knew exactly everything about it. My mind just started registering about any animal I see. Okay? It had short hair like a deer. It was tall, 8-9 foot. It was swinging its arms side by side, walking. It had been rolling in alkali dust. Alkali dust was coming off its hair. And all I'm seeing all this stuff, and it's looking the other way. It doesn't look at me. But I am just terrified of it. I have a .44 Magnum sitting in the seat. Right there, sitting in the seat. Because I don't go any place that I don't have a gun. And we were out there, there was outlaws and stuff around, you know, all the time back up in that country. That's where Manson was and all of that. Okay? Well, I saw this thing, and I just went on by. Right? Just got right up to where it was, and I stopped. And I looked at Jimmy. I said, "Son, did you see anything?" He said, "What'd you see?" I said, "What'd you see?" He said, "What'd you see?" I said, "What'd you see?" And we went on like this for a long time. He said, "Let's get the flashlight." I said, "Leave it alone." Just like that. We had a spotlight. I said, "Leave it alone." He said, "Let's go out and track it." I said, "Leave it alone." He said, "Dad, you got the .44 Magnum?" I said, "Leave it alone." Just like that. And I went on. And we got down there and into town. And there was a little all-night restaurant, gas station, and bar there. It was the Esmeralda Market and the Boonies. We went in there. Jimmy, we couldn't sleep after this. We finally got over there to my little trailer. And Jimmy said, "What did you see, Dad?" I said, "What did you see?" We just kept on going like this. And finally, I told him what I saw. "Yeah, that's what I saw. That's what I saw." But I didn't see it out there. I just saw it went across the road. He was all talking and going on, and I was watching this way all the way across. Well, when he got out there, I realized it wasn't somebody that was stranded. It was this thing. I told Jimmy, "Jimmy, I saw Bigfoot. That's what I saw." "Well, that's what I saw too, Dad, but I don't believe they exist. I don't believe it. It had to be something else." I said, "What did you see?" He said, "Exactly what you saw." I said, "What did you see then?" "Well, I don't believe it. It couldn't be." Like that. So he said, "Let's go over there to the bar. And just go over there." We weren't going to sleep anyway, so we went over there. And Jimmy started asking questions. He asked this person, "Is anything ever weird ever happened down there at the hot tub? Anything weird?" And one old guy said, "Oh yeah, the Indians lived down there. And they said this Sasquatch came over there and reached over the fence and stole their sheep. And it did it 2 or 3 times and they ran off and wouldn't ever go back." And then another guy said, he said, "Well, there was a murder down there at the hot tub. And they found a guy down there mutilated by an animal or something. But they think it was a murder. We didn't think it was an animal that mutilated him. But they found him down there at the hot tub mutilated." One other time I went down there and something threw a 55-gallon barrel about 50 yards. I saw it flying through the air. Now, I used to pick up 55-gallon barrels. A lot. I worked in a refinery out in the oil field. Now, 55-gallon barrels are heavy when they're empty. Now, I didn't have much in it, but that thing flew from one end of that to the other, and my boy Gary was there, not Jimmy, but Gary was there. He said, "Dad, let's get out of here. It's back!" You know, like that. We got out of there fast, and we left. I never went down there at nighttime ever again. That could be a Nephilim. Now, I've heard research, and I was the first one that ever said, maybe Bigfoot is a Nephilim. Maybe Bigfoot are only seen when they want you to see them. Okay? I don't know. I know I saw the thing. I know it exists. I know it's not a primate. I know it's not some missing link. I didn't have room for the thing in my head at all. And I really wrestled with this for years. But maybe it was a Bigfoot.
So
How many fingers and toes, how many fingers and toes did Goliath and his four brothers or sons have?
Six
fingers and toes. They have tracked. I did not go back and do it. My son tried to get me to go the next day. I would not go. He said, "Dad, what's wrong with you?" Now, I did Bigfoot research. I've been contacted by about five different ones, even what they call investigators. You know the thing on the Monster Quest on television? That Kathy woman there? Well, see, she talked to me. Her husband talked to me. She's never seen a Bigfoot. I told her I had seen one. You know, she called me, and because I'm in all the records of seeing this thing, I turned it in because I wanted to find out about it. And she said, "You're lucky." And I said, "I don't think so. I don't ever want to see another one. It scared me to death, and I don't get scared of things like that." And then I talked to her husband about it, and she said, "That's what you call being zapped. They'll take the alpha person, the strongest person in a group, and they'll zap that person and scare them to death, and then everybody else is whipped." My son was not afraid of it because I was there. He has seen me go after lions, bear, wild hogs. He was with me when I killed wild hogs. I mean, I've been out killing wild hogs in dangerous situations. He said, "Dad, how come?" And I find out, he said, "Dad, why were you so afraid? You had a .44 Magnum." And I said, "I don't think I could have killed it. It was bigger. I felt so small in its presence. I felt like an ant in its presence." Now that I look back, I think it is a spiritual thing, not only physical, but spiritual. And what I saw and what scared me so bad, I think, was the spirit of it. Because it's not good. It's not of God. It exists. But I don't know what it is. But there is a research development now that the Bigfoot are Nephilim.
The fact that I think what you said that can appear and not appear makes sense, because otherwise someone would have found it.
Well, there's some weird stuff that has never been untangled, but there's a lot more sightings of these things than what they say. If you can go on Bigfoot research and stuff like that. Where did we finish at? We're going to start at 11:1, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And this is the 22nd, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Well, pray for me that I'll be able to be back here. I hope you don't think I'm some kind of a nut now that I saw a Bigfoot. But we study these kind of things. And I had talked about that years ago. I even talked to them, and I told them, you know, I said, "I'm a believer. I believe in God. And I am one of the most factual." Did you ever hear about those guys that killed the man and woman, the female and male Bigfoot in Texas? Now, I ask them, I've listened to a lot of this stuff and a lot of the stories about it. And this Kathy, I can't remember her last name, but she told me that she didn't think, she said, "There's many Bigfoot sightings, but a lot of them are hoaxes. The one where they filmed it is real. That is a Bigfoot. That film that they had of that is a real Bigfoot." Okay? Because no human could walk like that. What I saw out there, no human could walk like that. This is different. And they walk different than a human. And they told me that like 50% of sightings are real, and the other 50% are somebody thought they saw something. But she said, "Yours is absolutely factual, especially because my son still doesn't believe we saw it. Even to this day." He said it had to be some explanation. I said, "What?" He said, "Well, Dad, you're more of a woodsman than I am." And I said, He asked me, first of all, he said, "Do you think that's a deer walking on its hind legs?" Because it was the color of a deer. He said, "Do you think it's a bear?" I said, "No." You know, we were discussing. I said, "No. What do you think it is?" "I don't know." You know, because I wasn't ready to give up and say I saw this thing. You know, it was just weird. Well, go out and do something eternal this week. Pray for our fellow students down in Camp Pendleton Marine Band. I'm going to send a lot more stuff, study material down to them. The chaplain there is going to retire in a year, and he's going to start a Bible school in Texas, and I'm going to try to send them stuff from our classes to go into the Bible school so they can teach on video. the languages and stuff, especially because there aren't very many language teachers around to even get one. So pray for them, and pray for me and my wife, and our family. And Dakota starts the school tomorrow. I have to get her there at daylight. So she'll have a big day tomorrow. All right. Brother Randall, would you dismiss us in prayer? Go out and do something eternal this week now.
God, Father, we thank you.